Texas.
Yeah.
Don't you forget it.
Stinking Yankees. Oh, I'm in the wrong place to say that, huh? There we go. I got it on there. All right, good to be here again. Good to see all y'all. Good to see people that's still here. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Chronicles in your Bible. And 2 Chronicles chapter 26, we'll start. Going to read just a little bit and kind of give you an idea. This is a message that I guess probably every preacher in the world has preached on, but you never heard my version. And so you're going to hear it today. And enjoy being here with you guys. Whatever happened to Jasmine? Did you run her off? Oh, there you are, hiding back there. Yeah, I see her. That little gal got saved at our church not long ago. And Miss Linda bribed her into coming. And so so good to see her, though. She's looking well. She was pretty sick for a while there. All right, 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And this message is a warning. You know, Lester Roloff, I like to listen to old preachers like that. And just, can't hardly use anything he did. He just scattered all over. But he's just a blessing to hear. And he said when he would, in his heyday, he'd preach revivals. They'd preach 2 weeks just on sin. And what they'd do is they'd go through town, find out what people are up to, and then they'd spend that night and preach on it. And then they'd do it, and they'd find people up to, maybe they're getting drunk, he'd preach on drunks and booze. And then another night, find out they're lying, they'd preach on liars. And he'd go around, he'd find out people are cheating, they'd preach on that. And he'd preach, find everything anybody's doing in town. Ask around, see what the predominant sins are, and he'd just hammer on them for 2 weeks. And then the last week, usually a 3-week meeting, he'd preach on the glory of God. And by the time. And God just doesn't fit always into our time. And they had, used to call it protracted meetings. Well, you can't hardly get anybody to come for a protracted meeting, you know, because the evangelist, he got till Friday, and then he got to be somewhere else, But I'll tell you what, I believe, like Brother Mark, he's one of the greatest evangelists, I think, in America. And Brother Mark, I think if God really got in on it, he'd cancel that other stinking meeting and just hang out. And I think that'd be a blessing. But you know this, and the reason I say all these negative things here is you got to start off with getting people right with God before you can get the shout really going like you ought to be. Right. Problem is we all want everybody to shout and nobody get right. Amen. Amen. I tell you, say, man, anybody here love Jesus? Yeah. Amen. And glad you're saved. Yeah. Oh, you're a bunch of devils. I know you're up to no good. Amen. Right? See, you can get people shouting. Because, I mean, everybody here, if you're saved, you ought to be able to shout something. Yeah. Bless God, there's more to it getting a revival than just shouting. Yeah. And you got to get some things right with God. Well, anyway, 2 Chronicles chapter 26, look down in verse 15. 2 Chronicles 26, 15. I'll try to read just a little bit and then fill in the blanks so we don't have to read too much. And Brother Jim Chandler's here tonight with us, and he's a blessing. He's always been a good friend of mine, my best friend in the ministry. And I told him, you're the best Yankee friend in the ministry. But anyway, I said, Brother Jim, I think, you know, I'd like you, if I pass away, you preach my funeral. He said, I'd be more than happy to do that. And then I thought, I'd be glad to preach your funeral. And I thought, wait a minute. Anyway, but if he dies, I get a shotgun, though, so I'm praying he goes first. 2 Chronicles 26 and verse 15, and this is talking about Uzziah. Uzziah's a great king, good king, did all kind of good things up to this point. And in verse 15, he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But that's everybody's trouble. Once you've decided you get strong, you get out of trouble, you get finished and answered to prayer, and things are going good, that's the worst place in America to be. Right. Because you're increased with goods and have need of nothing. No, it's not that you're wretched and miserable and blind and naked. That's right. And that's where we're at. Yeah. I'm talking about Bible-believing Christians in Baptist churches. You drove up here in a car, probably a shiny one, yeah. Right? Some of them halfway in this, you're in this decade, so you got a new car if it's in the 2010 on up. And so we're doing pretty good, and that's one of the most dangerous places to be as a Christian, is to be strong and be doing good and making a lot of money and things like that. But, amen. Verse 16, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went to the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king, said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Now this old boy, like your Brother Jim said one time, I liked it and I started using it. A lot of churches are just deacon possessed. I mean, buddy, they're run by the big shots. And so these big shots run the church and the deacon board runs the church. And buddy, Southern Baptist, you know, I had a friend of mine, he knows him, Brother Jim does, Bill Couples. And I remember he got done dirty by a Southern Baptist convention, Southern Baptist churches, and it left him standing out in the cold. And he told me, he said, Brother Glenn, SOB don't always stand for Southern Baptist. You know? He wasn't 100% sanctified. It's a good thing that y'all don't know what that means, but the truth is, they done him wrong. And Bill come from a real bad background. And some of y'all, yeah, I know, y'all too holy or something. You say a bad word around here and y'all go, oh. I said a bad word on the plane. Stinking Democrat. But I almost got in a fight on the way up here. For thine honor, Lord God. Now look at verse 19. Then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him. And behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out because the Lord had smitten him. Now, that's what you call cut off suddenly. I mean, he got his divine retribution quickly. Now, just because God doesn't do it immediately doesn't mean it's coming. And so Uzziah got too big for his britches, decided I'm not just going to be king, I'm going to be a priest too, like King David was. David was a prophet, a priest, and a king. He said, I think I'm going to step into those shoes, and them shoes ain't for you. That's right. Now listen, I'll tell you all something out there. And I like Brother, I think it's Brother Bear is the one that said it. He said, all I want to do is just try to do something to please Jesus Christ. If your ambition in life is to please Jesus Christ, you can always feel happy and fulfilled and ready. If your ambition in life to be pastor of a big church or to be a big missionary or to be an evangelist, you're like the one said, like the old boy said on a good old movie, Before I Was Saved. I said, Before I Was Saved. I said, Before I went to this movie. Well, anyway, and the old boy said, get used to disappointment. Because, listen, you got these ambitions and these ideas, and but I'll tell you, you'll be dashed on the rocks, and if you don't really love Jesus Christ, you'll just quit. Because you got an ambition, and God just said, on your ambition. So I don't need you. I don't need nothing you got. And you say, well, I want to do, and I want to. And bless God, I'll tell you what, my ambition from the get-go, and now, somebody said, well, I just got to preach. Now, if you're like that out here, you're stupid. But anyway, if I just got to preach, bless God, I got to preach. I'll tell you what I got to preach. I don't. I preach to a lot of folks, and I don't have to preach. If God said, hey, dummy, sometimes he calls me that. Sometimes I let him call me Glenn. Anyway, and he says, hey, if he said, I want you to fly airplanes for me, I'd be dropped right now, drop this thing and walk out of here. It wouldn't hurt my feelings a bit. If he said, I want you to do this or do something else, I hope you don't ask me to dig ditches. But I mean, because my idea is, if he wants it done, I'm going to do it. Amen. Amen. Now, I happen to be a preacher and a pastor, et cetera. I never asked to do it. People asked me to do it. And I thought, oh, well, I'll give it a shot, I guess, and see what happens. And that's how I got started. And some people think, well, I've had anxiety, you know, as time went on, we've started growing, and then you have trouble, and it knocks back down, and you're growing. I've had that problem, too, and wish, and then I got to stop and think, you know something, God, this is your church, this is your people. If you want to mess it up, you want to shut the door, fine. I'll go do something else. Doesn't bother me a bit. You don't think, you get like that, you can't be as disappointed most of the time as people get. They get all disappointed because God didn't use them for something great. Let me help give you a chance to think about something. Anything God wants you to do is something great. Now, I don't know what you think about Trump. Don't care, really. But if he called you on the phone, I want you to do something for me. Everybody here hear about it. I got a call from Trump. He wants me to go do this. What are you going to do? Mow the lawn on the White House. That's all. But I'm going to do it for him. You get all excited about it. God of the universe asks you to do something like, how about clean the commodes or clean the church? I ain't about, I went to Bible school. I ain't no janitor. I had a guy tell me one time graduating Bible school, I said, well, look, we got this van, your car broke down. You can use the church van, but you got to pick people up on Sunday because that's what it's used for. And he said, I ain't no bus captain. I knew right then that guy ain't worth shooting. Amen. Now, he had been. But he ain't now. And you know what happened? He went to school. I'm going to do something for Jesus. When I knew him in school, he just wanted to serve God and love God. And then between then and afterwards, and by the time he come to our church, something had happened. All of a sudden, he thought he done graduated from Bible school. So there are certain things I can't do. And he didn't do them. He left and ended up, the family fell apart and everything else. Miserable. 21, last part of verse 20, because the Lord had smitten him, so he got what he got coming to him. I didn't pray yet, did I? Did I? It's not very memorable if it was, so let's pray. Father, I pray your Holy Spirit to guide my mouth. Help me to say what I ought to say. I pray, God, to give me the unction and the power, God. Lord, give me the anointing that I need, and I pray you'd rebuke the devil and these people. Help them, Lord. I know this church needs help like ours back home. Every church, every person here, they might look like things are going good, but I know problems are going on. There's no way I can say the right thing necessarily, but I can say it, and you can preach to their heart. Somebody might need to be rebuked. Somebody else might need to be exhorted. Others might need instruction. And by the miracle of your Holy Spirit, you can meet every need. And I pray you do that now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Uzziah, he's got too big for his britches. And he says, I'm going to go be a priest. And you read the story there where he got the leprosy and the priest kicked him out and he said, I'm with you. I'm getting out of here. God smote him and the old boy ended up dying as a leper. Amen. And you know, the story, here's the thing. I'm going to tell you the whole story right away. Look at chapter 27, verse 1. We'll just read a couple verses there and we'll skip down and read in chapter 28. So Uzziah became a leper. He left the house of God. Now, I'm going to liken it to church. You get some guy gets too big for his britches, and he leaves the house of God. You know, things didn't go his way. I'll say more about that in a minute. But his son shows up. So this guy, big shot in church and everything. Shh, don't nobody look. Well, we won't notice they come in late. We wouldn't embarrass you for a minute. We wouldn't. Amen. Good to see you. Jotham was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Look, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Uzziah did. Howbeit, he entered not into the temple of the Lord, and the people did yet corruptly. He said that daddy went to church, but when he left, he took the kid with him, and the kid was a pretty good kid. But he didn't go to church anymore. Amen. Stayed out. Now let's read chapter 28. Verse 1, had another kid, his grandkid, Uzziah's grandkid, and Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, but he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. Look down to verse 24. Now there's a bunch of bad things he did in this chapter. But in verse 24, it says, and Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God, cut in pieces the vessel of the house of God, shut up the doors of the house of the Lord, And he made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem and every several city of Judah. He made high places to burn incense unto other gods, provoked to anger the Lord God of his fathers. And it doesn't say it there, but you find out later that he had offered his own kids up to Moloch and the fire and killed his own kids and just did all kind of, and killed people, and just a very wicked king. Here's the whole thing. I'm not gonna let you off that easy. I'm gonna preach a little while, but the whole message is really, you got a man that was going to church and boy, he's doing good till he got proud and lifted up. He quits, takes his boy with him. He takes his boy with him. He's a pretty good kid, but the kid doesn't go to church anymore. Then that guy's kid turns into a stinking little pervert and a mean little devil, a demon-possessed idiot. Ahaz. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That applies to individuals. That applies to churches. That applies to nations. Just like that. You always got the deacon-possessed churches. They're the big shots that run the church. We had a church back home. They split off from Faith Baptist Church, another church, and started Osage Baptist. Now, they split off for a good reason. But the guys split it off, so they're sick and tired of a preacher having that much power. So what they did, the four families decided, we're going to put this place in our name. And when they put it in their name, they appointed themselves the deacons. It doesn't matter if they had 100, 200, 300, 400, 500 people vote against it. If them four people didn't want it, it didn't happen. If they wanted a preacher, they put him in. If they didn't like him, they took him out. Four guys. And this has been long enough now to where one of them got too old. He appointed his own successor, which just happened to be his own kid. Brother, you say, well, they left for a good reason, but you got these big shots running behind. I don't know the story of what all happened to them, but I know this, that's not the will of God. Amen. If you got a bad pastor that's not doing right, vote the sucker out. Amen. Don't go splitting off and just turning the other way. Went too much that way. I had a good friend of mine, Brother Greg Gio, down in Louisiana, preached for every year, a couple times a year. And old Brother Greg, you know Brother Greg. Anyway, he ended up passing away, but Brother Greg was down there. He had a little old church going there for a while and had about 40 people coming. And buddy, I'll guarantee you, he was going and everything. Well, they had a church business meeting. Things didn't go the way the richest guy in church wanted them to go. And the old boy got up, and just like a church like this, only a little smaller, and he gets up out of his seat whenever everybody voted against what he wanted. And he walked out. He got up. He said, that's the way it's going to be. He started walking to the back. And before he got to the back door, he turned back and he looked at everybody. And he said, these doors are going to be closed in 2 months. You won't be able to pay the light bill. And buddy, he just slammed the door on his way out, shook the whole place. And old Greg was standing up here like this and goes, he's probably right. Because, buddy, he did give a lot. And they didn't have anybody that wealthy. But you know what? Doors are still open. Amen. Doors still open to this day. Now God was able to work it out, and God brought a few folks in, and a few folks stepped it up a little bit, and they're giving, but kept the doors open. Yeah. Now I don't know whatever happened to that guy. I never followed up, but I don't think anything good ever happened. No. Not him or his kids or his grandkids. Right. I'll bet if I went and tracked that sucker down, found out, I'll bet he has kids on dope and everything else in the world. Right. Had another friend of mine I preached for still up in Oregon, Brother Mike Bell. And he had the same situation just about. Had a doctor and a banker and some other rich folks going to church. And Brother Mike, he's one of them guys that preaches. He went to Bob Jones University, but bless God, he should have went to PBI because his hair's all sticking up, tie's all crazy, jumping up on pews. Ah! Bob Jones. Now, his wife looks like Bob Jones. Everything just perfect. You know? And I always wondered, how'd this dude get with that gal? I mean, don't fit. But at any rate, he had the same thing happen because they got kind of torqued about the way he did things. And as time went on, they all decided to leave. And when they left, now, I mean, they weren't as antagonistic, but they said, you know, we're going to leave now. And it won't be a few months and you'll have to sell this place because you won't be able to pay the electric bill. And boy, Brother Mike, he called me up. He said, man, oh, man. His lower no snake's belly in the wheel rut, you know, I mean, he was way down there. And I said, well, do the best you can. If it closes up, it closes up. If it don't, just keep on going. And it didn't close up. Amen. Matter of fact, they paid the whole place off, and the church is doing real good right now. Amen. And that's been like 15 years ago that it was supposed to close down. You know, if God's doing something, he can keep it going. Sometimes you rich folk are highly overrated. Now, I'm not against rich folks. I mean, I'm not against somebody having some money. But, buddy, it seems like all these rich folks got a little string tied to everything they stick in there. They think, man, I give more money than that guy. That guy don't give nothing. That little 18-year-old kid, he don't give beans, and he gets to vote like me. I mean, after a while, they start getting the big, too big for their britches, and they say, well, I want to know what's going on with this around here and this around here. And God's going to do something to them suckers. Now, this guy, he gave him leprosy. Amen? Amen. We had families in our church. What is going on back here? If you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get our good old brother Tom from our church to come up here one year. You never seen a retarded guy whoop up on Brother Ryman in your life. And if you want to see it, come down. Am I lying or am I telling the truth? Tell the truth. Now, Brother Tom really is retarded. I mean, he's got Down syndrome. What was that you said? Retarded Texan could...
I'd rather not repeat it,
but anyway, so I never know what's going on back here with this strange fella. But you know what we got? That our church, like your church, I'm sure, everybody. And now, y'all get... You know what? That's why somebody said the R word. And... they had it in a paper one time, said, local principal in trouble over the R word. Man, I could not imagine. I mean, I was lost, and I couldn't think of a dirty word that started with R in my vocabulary. And I kept doing it. I finally went to church and said, what's the R word? And they said, retard. I said, that's bad? I didn't know you wasn't supposed to say that. But anyway, where was I before I so rudely interrupted myself? Oh, yeah. You got families at our church, and you know what happened? They're good people that got saved out of a rough life, and they come to church, and then their kids grow up, and they hit about 18, 19, go off to college somewhere, and they quit church. And they're not doing right, and then they have kids, and those kids never been in a good church. You're going to have it here. I remember Jack Hiles. I was up one of them pastor school. And you know what really surprised me, what he said? He said, that's a big church up in Hammond, Indiana. If you don't know who it is, it was, he's dead now, but he had about 150,000, not many, but it's more than what we have. And so he, he said this. I saw him. He said there on the pulpit, just like this. He said, this church will go into apostasy. It just depends on how long. He said, because that's the history of everything. It goes down. Unless God moves in. And that's why we have revivals. Amen. You know why we have revivals? We need God to move in because our natural inclination just go on down. So we need God to move in, kick us back in gear. You know what? And you know, that's what you need in your life. That's what your family needs. You need God to move in, do something. Mom and dad get saved. Kids grow up in a good home. They're sheltered. They don't have any problem. I'm not against sheltering kids. I don't think you ought to throw them into a sewer. I don't think you ought to put a bunch of junk in front of them. But they need to get in the fight somewhere. Most of y'all, I grew up kind of on a ranch and different places. And the way to learn to swim is they would grab you and chunk you in the lake. And I didn't do too good. So my mom had to keep me from drowning and take me and give me swimming lessons. But that was the theme is, you know, kids learn to swim. My dad is, well, dump him in and see if he can do it. Well, what if you can't? You're going to drown, which I was doing. And so they gave me some swimming lessons. Needed them. But, you know, sometimes you got young people, you've been sheltered. That's okay. But some comes a day, you better get in a fight. You better go out there and take a lick and punch somebody for the Lord. And I'm not talking about physically, but you ought to go out there and hit somebody up with the Word of God, and they may hit you right back with the Word of God and get into it.
That's right.
Because if you don't, you're going to just wimp out, and all of a sudden you won't be in church. And guess what's going to happen to your kids? They won't grow up in a good Christian home, in a good Christian church. They'll grow up, and they won't go to church at all. And by the time they're teenagers, buddy, they'll be on drugs, dope, suicide, and everything else going on.
That's right.
You got to get in the fight. Nations do the same thing. Churches do the same thing. You know, a church got to be in the fight. You got to have revivals. If you don't have a revival here and this church doesn't have regular revivals, you're going to go down. That's all there is to it. It's going to happen. You say, well, we get good preacher regularly. I know, but once in a while you need dessert, you know. You get meat and potatoes, and once in a while we have a dessert. That's called a revival. You bring in preachers that are not just like your pastor. Pastor can get up here, say same thing, same thing, same. You get some evangelist or somebody else come in and say one time, say things, and you go, oh, wow, I just got it. You know? Every pastor experiences that. Some egghead comes in and says it, and I say, well, I've been preaching that for 10 years. You know, if you're a pastor, though, you know what you think? At least they got it. At least they learned. And that's what I'm looking for in a revival at our church, and that's what I'm sure Brother Ryman is. But you know, a church needs revival. All those churches, talking about roll-off, churches that at one time had protracted meetings for 2, 3, 4 weeks, and then they started having week-long revivals, and then they started having the weekend revivals, and then they started having just special Bible conferences. I don't need no Bible conference. I don't need confer about the Bible. I need somebody to preach the hell out of you. That's what you need. You need your sins preached out of you. You need somebody to say, you're a liar, you're a drunk, you're a doper, you're an idiot. Everybody can get in on that one. Amen. And after a while, you say, well, I got my feelings hurt. I'm trying my best without cussing. Amen. So that we had a family in church about 2 weeks ago. Right after revival. Nice little church people, I always call them. You know, they all got the same, you know, nice little suit, the nice little clothes, and the little boy got nice little girl got nice little thing. Hey, and sit down. And we got like 3 aisles, got more than 2. Anyway, and so they sit right there. I don't know where they come from. They fell out of a Presbyterian church or something. Because the singing, we sing loud like y'all. Got an orchestra, sing loud, play loud. And buddy, I mean, his eyes were like that. His wife just stuck her head down. And the kids were going, what's going on around here? You know? And then after we got going a little while, I did the dastardly deed doer of preaching and said, a bunch of stinking queers are taking over in America. And he goes, and he grabbed his kid's ears. You know? And I thought any minute he's getting up and walking out. But they endured to the end. And they sat right there, but he was, and the guy that sat behind him said, man, he's just rustling papers and doing this and whispering to his wife and all that during the whole service. And so I just figured, pour it on. And so that way he'll go out and he'll, for some reason, haven't been back yet. We're looking for him any minute. But I'm not for running people off, but my soul, I'll guarantee you every one of them, the mom, the dad, the kids, heard a whole lot worse than what I said. And every one of them said a whole lot worse than I said. And they got their little bitty feet ones hurt because they got thin skin. And that's why we try to thicken your skin up so you can get in a fight and somebody hits you up with something, you can hit back. So churches need revival. And then you got these churches, they just do the Sunday morning service. They cut out the Wednesday, cut out Sunday night. I had one guy tell me he used to go to our church. I saw him somewhere. I said, well, how's it going? He said, well, I'll tell you what. I don't feel guilty now about not going to church Sunday night. I said, I don't think you would. You don't even have a Sunday night service. And you know, but that's a bad situation where a guy can tell you a good thing about his church is I don't feel guilty for not showing up Sunday night. Yeah. Man. Yeah. I think you ought to be in church every time doors open. You say, well, I got a different idea. Well, you're wrong. That's why I'm preaching and you're sitting there listening. Pretty obvious, ain't it? I got the fancy suit and a little bitty thing here. And you don't. So it's and you ought to be in church every time the doors are open. Amen. Unless you're providentially hindered. That means you're dead or you're sick. Now, I'll tell you what, this also applies to a nation. Do you realize what happened in America? in the 1900s, the early 1900s. You know what they had? Prohibition. They got rid of the booze. Billy Sunday. Bob Jones Sr. heard him say this on tape. Obviously, they never heard him in person, but Bob Jones, I listened to him on a deal every morning. And Bob Jones Sr. said, in the early 1900s, we had 2,000 evangelists crisscrossing America preaching. 2,000 evangelists. And he called them fundamental. You have 2,000 fundamental evangelists crisscrossing America, preaching revivals 1, 2, 3, 4 weeks at a time. Wow, that sounds pretty good, don't it? Well, it isn't that way now. You know, we got some evangelists, Mark McGahee. And then you can go 1, 2, 3, count them about on your hand, the people, evangelists, that are doing anything for God. There are just not that many evangelists doing much for God. He said, well, you know, the Bible says give some to evangelists, and then pastor, shut up. You're going to be Laodicea and say, well, the Bible says you got to be lukewarm. Yeah. It doesn't say you got to be lukewarm. You don't got to participate. Yeah. If they are, you don't want to be. Amen. Well, anyway, and so he said, so what happened was we had that. Then they repealed prohibition, and then you had World War II, and all them people that were in them revivals had kids. And those kids, what they call a great generation. You know what a lot of them did after the war? I know exactly, because I had father-in-law and the people I knew that after the war. They were good guys, nice guys, paid their bills. But their interests were make money, buy a house, buy a car, get self-sufficient, get things paid off. And that was what they wanted, and they got it. But church was like, eh. If they went at all, they'd go once a week. And their kids, guess when they showed up? The 60s. Yep. You know, if you know anything about old goats like us, the 60s, drugs, sex, and rock and roll. Yep. And buddy, they didn't care about nothing. They didn't have free sex, everything bad. And guess who Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton come from? The 60s. Yep. And that bunch of idiots is running this country. And you know, I said, well, we got Trump now. I don't think he's necessarily saved. I think what he remembers is them old days. And he wants it back. Some morality back. He wants America back. He just remembers the glory days and he wants them back. Well, so I do too. But I want God in there too. Not just America back. But bless God, man. Jotham was a decent guy. But you know, in the verse 2 over there. Where is that? It says, and the people did yet corruptly. You know what that meant? That means them fellas in the World War II generation, they did good, but the kids turned out rotten. The people were corrupt. Now, I bet you Uzziah in his heyday to begin with this thing would never allow the homosexuals to build a place right next to the temple. I'll bet you Uzziah wouldn't have let a bunch of drunks be hanging around like that. But he did. Jotham did. You remember Eli? Yeah. Eli was a priest in the Old Testament that two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, they were laying with the women at the tabernacle. They were doing wicked, wicked stuff. And Eli reproved them, but he didn't stop them. He went, boys, now you got to quit this. You shouldn't be doing this stuff. He had the power. He could have just said, look, boys, you're done. Amen. You're no longer going to work at the temple. You're not going to have any part in it. Amen. You get out, go get you a regular job. I think that would help a lot of pastors to get a regular job. Yeah. Yeah. Some of these evangelists that never had a regular job. Yeah. Some preachers that never had a regular job. Yeah. They're not worth shooting. I was almost going to name some. But you've had them here, so I better not. Amen. Back in the Dallas public school system in 1954, I got two books. In 1954, the Dallas public school system. And they're two books because you had a religion class where you had to pass. It was a Bible class you had to pass. I mean, just like if you're going to graduate, you had to pass it. History, you had to pass it. Civics, you had to pass it. All right, well, Bible class was one of them. There's not hardly a preacher in America that passed that test today. That's right. I don't know if you've seen it, but I got it. I took it. I taught at a Bible college over in Eastern Arkansas the other day, and I took it and had it up on a big screen. I said, how about all you preacher guys, answer them questions. But they read them because they go, whoa. It said, name all the rivers. It said, name the books of the Bible and the authors. Name the main character. Name the main theme of the book. I mean, all of them. Name the different books of the Bible and how they're sectioned up, like the Pentateuch and the writings and the prophets and which group is in any. All those things. Just a dud public school, high school, lost kid had to know that stuff. It said, commit to memory about 20 verses in a row. It said, all this stuff that an average preacher doesn't even know today. Don't tell me, buddy, we're in the heyday of religion and boy, Christ is exalted. I think that's why Trump grew up back then and he saw what it was like and he'd like it back. I'd like it back. But they had to take a piece of paper, draw the Holy Land, draw all the rivers, and name them. Jabbok. Can you do them? Nope. Ammon, Jabbok, all them. Bashan, Gilead, Moab, Ammon, all them. And you'd be most people here. How many of you preachers could do that? And some of you have been to Bible school. And you had to learn them. You say, well, how come you're so smart? Because I just had to teach it and had to learn them again. All right, look at chapter 29. You still got your Bible there? And we'll just read three verses, and I'm just about done. Let Brother Jim come up in a little bit. What I'm going to say now is it don't have to stay that way. Ahaz ended up being a wicked, wicked boy. But look who come up next. 29, verse 1. Was it 2 Chronicles 29, 1? Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old. And reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David, his father, had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Uzziah left. What's his name? Josiah? Jotham. Uzziah left the church, Jotham never went in, and the next kid, he closed the doors. This country doesn't just have a take it or leave it about Christianity. They hate Christianity.
Yeah, that's right.
And whenever Ahaz comes along, he hated that Christianity. And that's what we got now. We got a big battle. People hate Christianity.
That's right.
But you got a kid, and his kid was named Hezekiah. He did that which was right. But he restored things. Now, if you don't read the thing about it, he went and opened the doors, cleansed the house of God. First thing you're going to do when you're going to get revival, clean up.
Amen.
Get the stuff out, the bad stuff out. He repaired the house of God.
Yep.
Brought things back into the house of God. Got the shout back. Went to soul winning. If you read on, you find out Hezekiah was going to celebrate the Passover, and he sent out posts all over the 10 northern tribes. Some of them laughed at him, but some of them came. But they had a concern that the nation needed to get back to God. You know, if you're going to have revival here, you're going to have to go soul winning. You're going to have to get out off your blessed assurance and go do something. They were singing. If you read, they found out they got the trumpeters and they got the singers and everybody, and they started singing and they started shouting and they started trying to get folks saved. They had revival. Just because things are going down in America don't mean this church can't have revival. You can have it here. But you got to clean this mess up. And you know what I'm saying? I love y'all. But I know Roloff said this one time too. He said, the average Baptist of today wouldn't even be allowed to join a Baptist church of the 1930s. You're so wicked. You watch things that in 1930, if they knew you watched, you wouldn't be allowed to join. They'd kick you out of church. You watch it every day on TV. Some of you kids, you got your little cell phone. And I think every kid under 18 that has a smartphone has got an idiot parent.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, parents.
Amen.
If you got a red-blooded American boy and all of a sudden he's clicking around, he sees something and go, whoa.
Right.
Buddy, what do you think he's going to do? Well, that's wrong. Click. You go, is there more? He going to look. You girls are sorry, too.
Amen.
You Facebook people.
Amen.
You little gossipers.
Right.
Your old Facebook gets your old gossip going. What's he doing? What'd he do? Oh, she said this and he said that. And he did. That's all. Don't give me that. I use Facebook. Look, you can use a rattlesnake for venom or something.
That's right.
But, buddy, that thing is used for gossip. You know it. I know it. Everybody knows it. You can try to alibi it. I don't quit preaching and went to meddling, didn't I? I'll tell you how I know you're hooked. I'll tell you how you know you're hooked. You don't know how you're hooked? Quit it for 2 weeks. You got a guy on drugs, you know what you want to do? Take him off 2 weeks. I just want to check the pictures. Just maybe a look. Just a look. No. Come here. Hey. Leave that alone.
You're right.
You're hooked.
Right.
Same thing with TV, same thing with everything. Right. I mean, you're hooked. I'll tell you one thing. You know what you ought to do? Treat your Bible like you do your cell phone.
Amen.
You leave the house without it, you'll turn around and go back.
Amen.
How many of you would leave your Bible at home, you'd turn around and go back?
Amen.
You don't do it. You know you're there. So when I say let's get cleaned up, I ain't talking about them, sorry, Southern Baptists, Nazarenes, Methodists, Presbyterians. I'm talking about Faith Baptist Church.
Amen.
You want revival here? We got the doors open.
Yeah, you're right.
We need some cleaning.
Amen. Amen.
Bow your head for prayer. Father, pray that you help these people, this church, and other churches that are assembled here. God in heaven, this place needs revival.
Yeah.